Our first scripture reading for tonight will come from the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from the ninth chapter of Isaiah, verses 2 through 7. And it is on page 593 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before thee as with joy at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and for the staff for his shoulders, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And for the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Our epistle reading for tonight will come from the book of Hebrews. We'll be reading from the first chapter, verses 1 through 4, and that is found on page 1044 of your Pew Bibles. And again, let us hear God's word for us. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has obtained is more excellent than theirs. And our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 20, and it is found on page 889 of your Pew Bibles. Again, let us listen to God's word for us. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard of it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the day, for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. It's the word of the Lord. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. That's the message that the angel brings to the shepherds in the field on that first cold Christmas Eve night. A message of great joy for them and indeed for the entire world. Christmas is a time for joy. That's why many of you are here tonight. You've taken a break from all the shopping and all the cooking and all the wrapping of presents because you want to hear again and experience again the joy of this season. Saturday, I was going down Germantown Avenue. It was a very festive scene. The street was all lit up and festively decorated. There was a group of carolers singing Christmas carols in front of one of the shops. People were going to and fro searching for that last minute Christmas gift. But it was apparent to me that they were also searching for something else. Something that couldn't be found in one of the stores or shops. They were looking for joy. That's what all of the fevered activity the last few weeks have been about. It's been our search for joy. There's something about Christmas that invites a spirit of joy. Something about Christmas that causes us to do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do. We sing Christmas carols in front of strangers. We greet people on the street. We are kind to one another, at least kinder than we ordinarily are. We are polite. We open doors. We are looking for joy, the joy that is promised in this season. I suspect that some of it is grounded in Christmases past when, as children, we waited in wide-eyed wonder for the gifts and presents that would bring our hearts joy. I remember one Christmas in particular. It was the Christmas of 71. I was only 11 years old at the time, and it was the Christmas that I received my first bicycle. There was a foot of snow on the ground that Christmas, and the Sears delivery man could not deliver the bicycle until 3 days after Christmas. But I'd already heard the good news. And so when the bicycle came, my heart was filled with joy. That's the main thing that I had wanted that year, wanted nothing more but a bicycle so that I could be one of the cool kids and ride my bicycle to school and be someone. If you're like me, you've had many such moments of joy throughout your life. I wonder this morning what gives you joy. Perhaps it is the joy of friends and family. Perhaps it is the joy of financial security. Perhaps it's the joy of children and grandchildren, the joy of purposeful and meaningful work, the joy of material well-being that sustains your life. All of these things are wonderful blessings, many of them given to us and ordained by God, and yet we know that when everything is said and done, it is not enough. None of them can arrest the darkness in our hearts. None of them can arrest the darkness in our world, the world torn by strife and violence and injustice. None of it can feel that deep longing that we have in our hearts for something more for our lives, something more for our world. In the midst of all the joys that we experience, we know that we need a greater joy, a joy that can bring peace and healing to our troubled souls, a joy that can bring peace and healing to our world. We know that we need a joy that can save us. I don't have to tell you that we live in a world that is broken. We live in a world of terrible cruelty and injustice. We're reminded of that almost daily. A world where terrible things happen. Children who are targeted and murdered. People who starve to death while others have more than enough to eat. People who engage in gossip and character assassination. A world of wars and rumors of wars. A world where relationships fall apart and break down. It's that kind of world in which we live. And there is no one who seems able to fix it. We know we need a Savior. Someone who can save us from our fears and our cruelties and the injustices of our world. But the good news tonight is that God has indeed provided us a Savior in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The good news tonight is one of great joy. On this day, a Savior has been born. That's the word of the angels to the shepherds out in the field. To you this day, one has been born who is the Lord, the Messiah, the one that the whole world has been waiting on. He has been born to you this day. And this will be a sign for you. You will find him not in the precincts of power. You'll find him not in palaces or mansions. You'll find him not clothed in purple. You'll find him not where the beautiful people reign. You'll find him not in the halls of the influential and the connected. But you will find him lying in a manger, because there was no room for him in our world. Perhaps the sign is that in this little bitty baby who comes to save us, that he is indeed a baby who comes to save all of us, not just those who are connected, not just those who are powerful, not just those with money, but he has come to save each and every one of us. I saw some pictures the other day on the internet of little Prince George. He's the firstborn son of William and Kate, the young British couple who are heirs to the throne. There's something about babies that causes most of us to be filled with joy. And several months ago, when young George was born, he created quite a stir. People around the world wanted to get a glimpse of this little bitty baby. And so people camped out in front of Buckingham Palace. There was news teams and paparazzi. Everybody wanted to get a glimpse of this baby, including many of us here in the United States. We were in on it. We, too, wanted to get a glimpse of this baby. We were caught up in the excitement and joy of the moment. We wanted to see this young child who was born to this young, attractive royal couple. But even though little George is a wonderful gift, a wonderful gift to his family, a wonderful gift to his nation, a wonderful gift to the world, as all children are a wonderful gift to the world, filled with promise and potential. We know that he cannot save us. None of the people that we heap adulation and praise on can save us. Our political leaders can't save us. Our religious leaders cannot save us. Our business leaders cannot save us. Our religious leaders cannot save us. The only one who can save us is this little bitty baby born on that first Christmas night in a manger. And that's why we are here tonight. We are here tonight to hear once again the good news of that great joy. To you this day in the city of David, a Savior is born. Someone who can save us from the power of sin and death. Someone who can bring genuine healing and peace and justice to our world. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we need? Someone who can bring healing. Someone who can bring peace. Isn't that what we need right now in New York City, where people are protesting in the streets, where officers are being killed, where the mayor and the police union are at odds? Isn't that what we need, is someone who can straighten the mess out, someone who can bring healing? Isn't that what we need in our world right now, where children are being killed and people are being trampled and injustice prevails? Isn't that what we need, is a Savior, someone who can bring peace and security? Isn't that what we want and need? On this night, that is what God has given us, a Savior. And what makes this occasion so joyous is that the Savior who comes to save us is none other than God, God's self. In Jesus Christ, God has come to be with us. In Jesus Christ, God has pitched his tent in our midst. In Jesus Christ, God has come to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. In him, God has become a human being so that we can begin to recover what it means to be a human being made in the image of God. And it's important that we stress that last point, because for many people today, what it means to be made in the image of God is to have authority and control and dominion over others. They think that what it means to be made in the image of God is to be able to control people and dominate people and tell people what to do, to be able to lord over others. That's what it means to be made in the image of God. That's what it means to have God-like power in our world. But that's the domain of Caesar. That's what Caesar did. Part of Caesar's title was that he was the Savior and the Lord over the Roman Empire, which meant that he was the Savior and the Lord over the entire world as far as he was concerned. And when Caesar spoke, ordinary people like Mary and Joseph scrambled to comply. But when God breaks into our world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't come to control us. He doesn't come to dominate us. He doesn't come to tell us what to do. He doesn't come to lord over us in a threatening way. Instead, he comes to love us and to save us and to fill our hearts with joy. That's what it means to be made in the image of God. And Jesus would bear that image in everything that he did. When he healed people, when he fed people, when he embraced the lonely, when he included the sinners, it was then that he bore the reflection and the glory of God. That's not the kind of Savior that many of us want. We want the kind of Savior that looks like Caesar. We want the kind of Savior that will trample our enemies. We want the kind of Savior that is arrayed and dressed in the power and might of authority, the way we understand authority. But when God breaks into our world, he comes to us as this little bitty baby. He comes to us asking us, like the shepherds, to go to Bethlehem, to see him and to follow him as he shows us what it means to be the Son of God in the world. Grace Amethio says that whenever she hears the word joy, she thinks of her native East Africa. In the little tribe where she grew up, everyone's favorite season is the rainy season, so she'd feel right at home tonight. And everyone prays for the coming of the rainy season. When it comes, everyone is filled with great joy because the rainy season changes everything. It's a whole new world. Places that were dry and dusty and barren suddenly become lush and green and teeming with life. And that's true of the joy that enters the world on this night. It changes everything. Maybe you are here tonight and you already have the Christmas spirit. Maybe you're here tonight and your heart is already filled with joy, the joy of this season. If that is so, then God bless you. Hallelujah. You're in the right place. But maybe you're here tonight because your heart is broken. Maybe you are here tonight because you just cannot get in the Christmas spirit. Maybe the lights and the trees and the caroling have done nothing for you. Your heart is barren and dry and dusty. If that is you, well then again, you're in the right place. Because I have good news of great joy for you. For you, this day, a Savior was born. For you, God has entered into our world, a God who loves you more than you can even begin to know and imagine, and a God whose overwhelming desire is that your heart be filled with joy. Embrace that God tonight. Embrace that God. Take him into your heart and live the life of joy that he desires for each and every one of us, to the glory of God forever. Amen. Amen.